We are talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. We talked about the work of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works in every believer. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, giving us power to be a witness to our communities, to the world. Last week we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And today we come to the most delicious, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I use the word delicious kind of silly, but it also is, when we have the fruit of the Spirit growing in our life, we become appetizing to the world. The world is hungry. They're hungry for God. We should present something to them that is desirable. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is an important part of us looking like we have something to offer to the world. And so today we're going to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about a couple things. Again, we've been touching on some wider issues so that we can look and understand the Holy Spirit. We will come back to this at another time and go in depth to each of the fruits of the Spirit. But today I want us to be able to understand together why the fruit of the Spirit is important in the life of a believer. And the first thing is because the fruit of the Spirit contrasts the flesh. If you've ever had a kid, you know that original sin is no lie. We don't need to teach our kids how to sin, do we? We didn't need to learn how to sin. It's part of who we are in our fallen state, and it comes naturally to us. But look at what God's word says. So I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. Now, if you just stop right there where it says, so that you don't do whatever you want, you may look at that and say, well, that's very discouraging. But see, we're going to get into the fruit of the Spirit and how the Spirit grows within us these fruit, and how because these fruit are in our lives, there is hope, because we don't have to live according to the flesh. When we were saved, each one of us was given the Holy Spirit. Each one of us right here, sitting in this room, who love Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us. But the Holy Spirit and our natural inclinations of our heart do battle with each other. Paul calls that natural inclinations of our heart, he calls it the flesh. I don't know about you, but there are times where my natural inclinations are hard to wrestle. I mean, just on a very surface level, I love food. My natural inclination is if I see it, I eat it. Okay? I did not get this shape without work, putting in work. But the Holy Spirit also speaks to me and says, Todd, come on. It's called self-control. Sometimes I listen well, sometimes I don't. But those things are constantly at conflict. Sometimes it's my attitude. You know, when I am tired, my flesh rises up. Right? When I don't feel well, sometimes you got to stay out of my way. And I regret sometimes what I say. I think of it this way. I got a bottle of water, which is good because I need it. If I was to hit this bottle of water, what would happen? Yeah, right? Water comes out, right? It's just a dribble. It's better than last week when my suspender was... Why did water come out? Why did water come out? Because I hit it? Water came out because water is what's in it. I know, it's a trick question. But I want you to think for a second. When I hit it, lemonade didn't come out. Why? Because there's not lemonade in it. When I hit it, soda didn't come out. Because soda is not in it. When the pressure came on the water bottle, what came out? Water. Why? Because water is what's in it. You see, we live in a fallen world, and there's always pressure. There's always circumstances that are going to come along and that are going to squeeze us. What comes out of us is what was already in our hearts. So when the pressure comes, if anger comes out of us, it's because anger was in our hearts. We can't blame it on the circumstances. We're not a victim of our circumstances. I'm bitter because bitterness was in my heart. I'm selfish because selfishness was in my heart. You see, this is why we need the fruit of the Spirit. You ever get in a fight with somebody and you're mad, and so you just say what is rolling around your head and you say it, and then later when you make up, you're like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean those things. But why did you say those things? Because that's what was rolling around our hearts. You see, the flesh is all about self. But the Spirit is about God and about others. And so when the flesh has reign of our hearts, that's what comes out. This is why the fruit of the Spirit is so important to believers. We may not be able to choose the natural inclinations of our heart. Those natural urges that we have, or sometimes I call it the autopilot. Maybe you experience that. Maybe you're having a bad day and your brain completely checks out and your autopilot clicks in. And it just, it says things and it does things and you're not even thinking about it. But it comes out of you naturally, it's easy. We don't always choose our gut instincts, but we do choose how we respond to our own heart. We can indulge urges and inclinations, or we can choose to do battle with them, surrender ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, and rely on God to grow some fruit in us. For some people, this can be really difficult. Especially if you've indulged or fed your desires for a long time. For others, it's easy. And then for some, it's a mix. Hey, I'm really good at surrendering to God in this area of my life. Not so good at surrendering to God in this area. And I think we all have those areas where we have weaknesses. But the Holy Spirit enables us to live the Christian life. And the more that we learn to walk in the Spirit and exercise our wills towards what the Spirit wants, the more He grows in our lives and He makes it easier. But let me just say, we're never promised in Scripture that this life will be easy and free from temptations and struggle. Sometimes we think, come to Christ and all my problems are going to go away. That's not true. It's not true at all. But come to Christ, and He will walk with us through those struggles. Come to Christ, and when we face difficult times, He will grow the Holy Spirit in us. But we would love to say, hey, wait a minute, the world needs to freeze so that I can work this out, right? The world needs to stop. It needs to stop bothering me, and then everything will be fine. But that's not the promise that we're given. We are given this promise, though. When we are struggling and the world is putting pressure on us, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so you can endure it. Now, I'm just trying to establish here for a second. We'll get into more in the fruit of the Spirit in a second. But I'm trying to establish here that this is what the flesh looks like. The flesh just loves to do its own thing. And we're never going to escape that this side of eternity. But there is hope. There is hope. Paul introduces the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit by first contrasting the natural inclinations of the human heart with what the Holy Spirit wants to grow in our lives. I don't want to beat this to death, but here is an example. Of what our natural inclinations are. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. Hey, today none of us would ever say that we bow down and worship a stone. But some of us have set things up on the throne of God that is not God, and that's our idolatry. Relationships, money, status. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I like how it starts out. The acts of the flesh are obvious. You know, the reality is, first of all, this is not an exhaustive list of all of human sin. We're really good at coming up with new sins, right? But this kind of paints the thing. And you know what's funny is I like how it says the acts of the flesh are obvious. When we're watching other people, it's really, really obvious when they do something wrong to us, right? It's not so obvious to ourselves when we do wrong, right? Like, we're not so good at finding our own faults. We're really good at finding other people's faults. But you know what? Jesus wants to take our works of the flesh, the acts of the flesh that come obvious to us, or naturally to us, and He wants to, in their place, grow the character of Jesus. You see, that's really what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. The fruit reflects the character of Jesus. After Paul pretty much defines the condition of the human heart, how we have this natural inclination towards selfishness, towards sin, Paul goes on to offer us hope because God has given us the Holy Spirit who is at work in our lives to produce something better. Notice something interesting about this list of fruit. Let me read it for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I remember singing this song in kids' church all the time. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. So if you want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. But a fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it goes through all these things. But these are the qualities that God wants to grow in us through the Holy Spirit. And when you look at them, notice how these are actually a really good description of who Jesus is. Jesus was loving. Jesus was joyful. What scripture say? For the joy that was before Him, He suffered the cross, right? Jesus offered peace. He was patient. Think about all the people that He could have been like, you're done. but he was patient with them. Kindness. Scripture says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Look at the kindness he showed. I mean, ultimately, Jesus died for us. What an act of kindness and love, right? Goodness. Faithfulness. No one can point to Jesus and say he wasn't faithful. Even when it cost him his own life, he was faithful to the Father. Gentleness. I can only think of one time when Jesus chose not to be gentle, and that's when he was flipping tables, right? He must have been playing Monopoly with them or something first, right? But he chose not gentleness, but that was not his everyday manner. He was self-controlled. I don't know about you, but I think it takes a whole lot of self-control to willingly die on the cross and suffer that pain and to not exercise his godness in that moment. And you know what? These are the qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us. The Holy Spirit works in us not to make us better versions of ourselves. Can I just say that? Good, because I did. The Holy Spirit works in us so that we look more like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit grows in our lives not because God is a giant self-help guru. The fruit of the Spirit grows in our lives because he wants Todd not to be a better Todd. He wants Todd to reflect Jesus. And so he says, Todd, I want you to grow in your love. I want you to grow in joy. I want you to grow in peace. I want you to grow in gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. Not because it makes you more attractive as you, but because the more you look like my son, the more attractive you become to the world so that they are drawn to me. It's not about me. It's not about self-help. It's about God-centered living. What's the verse say? He must increase. We must decrease. It's not contrary to some pauper preaching, live your best life now. It's about how can I look more like Jesus? And the only way that we can look more like Jesus and have the fruit of the Spirit growing in our life is when we stay connected to Jesus. Let me read a verse for you. I don't have it up on the screen this morning, but let me just read it for you. It's John 15:5. And it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If we want to grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then part of that means we have to remain in Jesus. We have to draw close to him. It's not something we do ourselves. Now, I'm not saying we don't put in some effort. But how do you make yourself a loving or patient person if you're not loving or patient? Right? Do I just try to stir it up within me? Do I just like, oh, I'm going to be loving today? I mean, if we could stir up those feelings all on our own, wouldn't we already be loving people? Nobody wakes up and today say, oh, today I want to be a hateful person. That's not what we say. We want to exhibit these things, but the problem is that without the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, without us staying connected to Jesus, it's an uphill battle. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people who are loving. But what I'm saying is that we need the Holy Spirit so that these things are continually growing in our lives. We seek to die to ourselves while letting the Holy Spirit grow in us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. There we go. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's interesting. He's talking about the growth of fruit in our lives, but then he also talks about crucifying our passions. We seek to die to ourselves while letting the Holy Spirit do His work. And I don't want to go too much longer, but I just want to, one more area I want to talk about, because last week we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? The fruit keep the gifts in check. First of all, let me just say that when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about plural things. To some, He gives the gift to be apostles. To some, prophets. To some, teachers. To some, miracles. To others, healing. To others, speaking in tongues. Do all interpret? We all have different gifts that God has given us, okay? But the fruit is different. The fruit is singular. Every believer should have the fruit growing in their lives. It's not like you can say, well, I want to be more loving, but I don't really see a reason to be self-controlled. Hey, you know what? I want to be more faithful. But people just get on my nerves. So I don't need to be patient with them. They just need to get me. We don't get to pick and choose which fruit God wants to grow in our lives. See, if the Holy Spirit's active in our life, all of those things should be growing in our lives. Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He didn't say, since you live by the Spirit, you keep in step with this part of the Spirit. And since you live by the Spirit, you keep in step with that part of the Spirit. No, it's since we live by the Spirit, we need to keep in step with the Spirit and let the Spirit grow the fruit in our lives. That includes all the fruit. Not like he said, some of you are apostles, some of you have the gift of healing. He said, we all need to be in step with the Spirit and let Him grow everything that He wants to grow in our lives. It's important for us to remember that the fruits are of equal value as the gifts. For a church to be healthy, we need both to be in effect. We need the gifts at work. We need the fruit growing in our lives. Without the gifts, the church lacks power. And sometimes that's as far as we think. But without the fruit, the gifts have a way of being abused. Because of our natural inclinations, the flesh, it tends to get in the way of what God wants to do. And we tend to make the gifts about us. Because remember, what did we say? The flesh is usually about us. The fruit is about God and others. Many great movements of God began, and there were miracles and salvations and things taking place, and then people got in the way. Monday, we watched the Jesus Revolution, right? That's a perfect example. In the movie, you saw Lonnie Frisbee and Chuck Smith, right? And they were working on, and all these hippies were coming and getting saved and all these things. And then what happened? There was conflict. Not about what God was doing, but ultimately personality conflicts is what kind of played in there, right? Because people have a way of getting in the way and making things messy when it comes to God. That's why we need the fruit. If we want to be powerful in the gifts, we also need to be fruitful in the Spirit when it comes to these things. The ultimate manifestation of spiritual power in any believer or in any church is when fruit is growing in our lives and the gifts are in use. Otherwise, we only have half the deal. Fruit and gifts. We often talk about our need for the gifts. Why? Because the gifts are somewhat glamorous. And I'm not trying to put them down, but it is very exciting when someone comes up front and you're praying for them and we see them healed, right? You know what's not exciting? Being patient with people. You know what's not exciting? Being gentle with somebody that you want to slug. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it. But that is the fruit, right? When the fruit is growing in our lives, it provides fertile soil for the gifts to be moving. I'm going to kind of wrap us up there because I want to give us some time for altar call today. I want to encourage you. God wants to grow some beautiful things in your life. He wants you to experience joy. He wants you to be full of love, to be patient. He wants you to experience kindness to others, even when they're not kind to us. He wants you to be self-controlled. He wants you to be faithful. He wants to grow, not so you can be a better version of you. And I'm not trying to put you down or anything about that. It's not what it is. But we look most beautiful when we look like Jesus. This morning, maybe you want to pray for the fruit to grow in your life. We're going to open up the altars for that. Maybe you want to pray for an experience with the gifts, that you know your gift or you want to move within that gift. The altars are going to be open for that this morning for you to come pray. A couple of weeks ago, we prayed for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We don't need to pray for that just once. We can continue to pray for that or pray for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. So the altars are open for that today. And then maybe today you have a need. Maybe it's a need for healing. Maybe it's a need for wisdom. Maybe it's a need for strength. We're going to open up the altars today so you can come and we can pray for you for those needs as well. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism and the fruit, they're available to every believer. And God is a generous God. He wants to bless us, He wants to work in us, and He wants to move in us. So this morning, we're just going to make some time for that.